worship. Everybody look at me. When I think of worship, this is what I think of. Ralph Warren, alone with God, in a Bible. Most people think of worship with music. I'm not opposed to music, and I want to be very careful here. So everybody hears me. I've been in lots of countries. If you're around Scandinavian people, they stand like this, and they never break in a single emotion for an hour. That's cultural. I've been in places where they get a little looser. If you go to Franco's church, Pastor Franco, a Haitian, is very similar to our church, Nancy, except it's loud. It is so loud that when I get done, my ears are bleeding. Is that okay? It's Haitian culture. I've seen people in church. No joke here, folks. People clap. I don't care about that. I want to know, what is this? Where does it begin? What's the essence of worship? You're going to hate me by the time I'm done this morning because it's so simple. And here's the problem. Look at me, everybody. None of that was worship. Zero. So whether it's personal, me, corporate, us, family, or your life, do you ever worship? Let me ask you, do you ever take a walk if you're in this area, especially close to the lake, and see the moon come off the lake right at the right angle? Don't you just kind of stop? Well, I like to walk at night. You see that come off the angle, and I don't know what color it is. Jenny, you would have to tell me, but I know one thing, it's beautiful, and you just stop and worship and thank God for his creation. What's the essence? That's what we're going to talk about. Where does it begin? Deuteronomy 6. It's behind me. The Lord says through Moses, "Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that they might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." And then according to Jesus, part of the greatest commandment, the center of the Bible, is verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You say, what's the essence? Number one, and by the way, this is where it's at. Worship begins when, everybody look at me, hearing occurs. And if hearing doesn't occur, worship hasn't happened, period. You have to hear something. Can I say this? This means if you ever talk to your husband or your wife, do not raise your hand. We're not doing confessions. And you realize your spouse wasn't listening to you. My wife, here's the bad thing. We've been married a long time. That's the good part. The bad part is she can read me. Folks, you know she knows when I'm not paying attention to her. I have a tell. You know the tell, don't you? I'll do this. When I'm looking up in that direction, I am 100 miles from anything she's saying. She's nicer than, I have another woman in my life back here that's not nice. We'll mention her. My mother's nice most of the time, too. Most of the time. My wife will say, "Ralph, where are you at? Where are you at?" It's like, oh my. Yeah. By the way, and after a while, you've seen the memes. You've seen the little videos. The wife is yelling at the husband, and the husband's just hearing nothing. Yeah. By the way, worship begins when hearing occurs. This is, of course, part of the great commandment. There is no worship for those who haven't heard. There is no worshipers for those who haven't heard. Friend, Christianity, look at me. Do you know when you become a worshiper of God? Look at me. When you hear the gospel. If you haven't heard the gospel, you're not a worshiper of God. It starts with hearing. See, everybody wants to say, what kind of music can we play? Well, we do the kind of music that is, I want to sing songs that people have been singing longer than 5 minutes. I don't mind new music. We sing some new songs. We'll continue to do so. But I like the span of hymnology. We have hymns. The doxology is one of them. Nobody really knows how far back in Christianity it goes, way back. I like to sing things that our forefathers is. Can I say this? When I go to any place, when I was in Kenya, they sang the kind of songs we sing. When I go to Mexico, they sing the kind of songs we sing. Every place I have been, they sing, this is our kind of music. We've only been doing it for a long time. But music is secondary to hearing. Hearing is where worship begins. Worship begins when hearing occurs, which by implication means if hearing hasn't occurred, there's no worship. Can I ask you a question? If I'm at a Led Zeppelin, I don't think they tour anymore. They're all near 80. I was a Led Zeppelin. By the way, first two albums I ever got, I'm confessing my sin for all of you that don't have any. First two albums I ever bought, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. And secondly, The Who, Who's Next? I'm a rocker. That's what I grew up on. But I didn't go to a rock concert thinking, this is worship. Thought it was a rock concert. I want to know where the hearing is. Well, what is it? Romans 10, 17 says this. Friend, this is where it begins. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, this is where it begins. So then faith, meaning faith that saves, the kind of faith that you put in Christ that saves. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear something. One of the great passages in all the New Testament, I thought about just using this text. James says this, of his own will, by the way, God's sovereign will in salvation, begat he us. We are born again through God's sovereign will. He uses what? The word of truth, the gospel. With the word of truth, he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Why? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He wants to use us to display his amazing grace. Next verse, wherefore, connecting back to verse 18, connecting back to the word of truth, because of the word of truth, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man or woman be what? What? Look at me, everybody. The most important thing you're going to learn this morning is this and the next section. If you grab it, you'll move forward in life. If you don't, you'll go right back to what you're always doing. And by the way, I keep seeing people spin. I hate spinning because I realize there's no hearing. Verse 19 is a powerful passage. Your life ought to be qualified by this. You are a person who is swift to hear the word of God, slow to talk, especially under your breath, and then slow to wrath. By the way, you should be known as a person, show me, teach me, help me. Every morning, or for me it's morning, more at night, you sit down with the word of God. It's like, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want to hear, show me. Yes, same concept. Worship begins when hearing occurs. There is no, if hearing hasn't occurred, worship, I'm going to say, I don't care how much you do this. I don't care if you're a part of the Shouting Baptist. I can name the places where people run up and down the aisles. They're not Pentecostal. They run up and that's more worship. I don't care about that. If you don't hear, there is no worship. Who are you kidding? Which means, are you listening to God every day? Oh, I forgot. Worship is not about just being here. Worship is at that day to day. It's Monday. It's Tuesday. The day you got saved, you became a worshiper of God. You became one that worships him day by day. It's your whole life. Worship began and could only begin when you and I heard the gospel. Any further worship will be the same. We continue to hear the truth of Scripture. It's always related to God and God speaking. By the way, friend, we're people of a book. Our Jewish forefathers were people of a book. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, look at me, constantly says, have you not read? Haven't you read? In the New Testament, the epistles, Paul constantly says, it is written. Christians are people that listen to the scripture. That's worship. You say, I like different music than you. Frankly, I don't care what kind of music you like. That never influences anything I'm ever going to do the rest of my life. Because I'm not talking about music. I'm talking about the essences. It all starts with hearing. Hear, O Israel. Hear, therefore, Israel. Hear. Worship began and could only begin when you hear the gospel. Any further worship will be the same, continued. It starts the same way. I can remember the day I got saved. I was a kid, 9 years old. I'd heard the gospel. I'd heard Pastor Varble many times preach on the new birth and believing and trusting in Christ. And the day I got saved, that's when I heard the gospel. I responded to it. That'll be the second concept. And at that point, I became a worshiper. All along the way, every day, I should be hearing, hearing, hear, O Israel. Well, in the behind me is the next word. By the way, what's going on in the Jewish world right now? Yom Kippur, kind of the most important day in the Jewish calendar. They had two New Years. They had both Passover in the spring, Yom Kippur in the fall. Modern Judaism, by the way, Yom is the word for day. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. You know how they atone for their sins? Not in a biblical fashion, by the way. Because the Old Testament, they had to bring animals. They don't do animals anymore. So guess what? You have to change your behavior and do good works. Sounds like works religion. But Yom Kippur is going on, or it's either going on or just finished. I'm not sure. I mean, it's a major thing. Of course, Shema. What's the Shema? I put the word the because this Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5 is down to verse 9 is considered the hearing. It's a word that means hearing. All right, I'm going to wait because I only preach this sermon for what I'm going to say next. The entire sermon's about what I'm going to say next. This is a way of remembering how to hear. Got me? This is not the passage. This is a way of remembering how to hear. You ready? It's the word Shema. Every Jewish person quotes it. Many times they have things on their forehead called a phylactery. They'll have that verse there. Sometimes they'll have things on their hands that'll have that verse there. It's Shema, hear. In Hebrew, Shema. I heard this from a Jewish rabbi. I like it. He said, do you know how you get the idea of Shema? Everyone? He says you do this. Look at me in the eyes. First you do this. Look. Shh. You got to stop the noise. What did James say? Wherefore, let every man be swift to, slow to wrath. By the way, it all starts with this. Look at me. Do you ever do that to yourself? My mother never said that to us as kids. My mother's this big woman, very strong, about this tall. When we were at church or any place where we were supposed to be quiet, she didn't have to, she never did this. She just, we know what that meant. It meant this or this. You got me? You either be quiet or you're dead. You say, your mother? Oof. I grew up in the old generation. You know, kids, you learn how to behave or you died, one or the other. Can I say this to you? Here's how you know you've worshiped. Look. You heard something. It begins with, look, be quiet, silence. Is that fair? Why don't you, guys, I should ask names. Judy, has Cliff ever not listened to you? I'm sure he listens to you patiently. He walks in the door. He sits down and says, now, Judy, please talk to me. By the way, there's not a man in this room that hasn't zoned their wife out. Some people zone their wife out for years. I won't mention some people's names in here, but by the way, there's not a woman in this room that hasn't zoned their husband out either. Can I say this? Some people say, I don't want to listen to God. I just want to. Well, that's all great. But see, worship in the Bible starts with hearing. Worship begins when hearing occurs. Here it is. Ready? By the way, this is a Jewish rabbi. I love his description because it helps me remember. He said, what's the middle part? Have you ever got something really tasty in your mouth and you just... What are you doing? Savoring it? Enjoying it? Here's listening. Look. Shut up. Quit talking. Quit blabbing. And then rolling it around. Boy, that's good. My wife makes a really, really good pumpkin mousse. Don't get nervous. Sugar-free. No sugar. Now, it's sweet to me, but for normal people, they don't find it sweet. I tell you what, I take a bite of that. So here it is. What's the last part? Look at me. Do you get the last part? Look at me. I learned something. The lights came on. Can I say this? The average person, after a year at church and a year at your daily devotions, couldn't walk forward and give me one thing you have learned. We're not worshiping anybody, except we're doing a lot of talking. Savoring something. And then, by the way, over the last couple of months, I've had some couple weeks were pretty bad. First 2 weeks, I was not worthless, but whatever is one step under worthless. That's where I was. My wife took care of everything. She woke up in the middle of the night bringing me oxy. She made sure she would bring, by the way, I hate to wake up in the middle of the night. I wanted to sleep, but I couldn't sleep. I was in pain. I didn't do anything, but I tried to read. I read the book, one book of the Bible. It's only a chapter. Don't get nervous. I read it over and over and over. You ever have this moment? Why have I never noticed the book of Philemon is about three people? Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. It's a triangle. Three people. It was like, you're going to hear it down the road. It was like, wow. Can I ask you a question? Do you ever hear from God? Do you ever do this? Wow. I didn't know that before. Can I say this? I went to church. I've been in church my whole life. Frankly, I find most church has no connection with my life. But the moment I learned to hear like this, by the way, go to bed tonight. When you go to bed tonight, grab a passage of the Bible, whatever verse that you have. Louis Heras, I never like to compliment Louis. He said something in his prayer. He's quoting a verse. Grab a passage that helps you and do this. Roll it over in your mind over and over as you fall off to sleep. That's wonderful. Friday night, my wife forced me. She twisted my arm. She says, we are going out to eat. I don't like to go out on nighttime. We're going out to eat at night, and we're going to go to Fitzgerald's and have some fish. I looked at her and I said, I don't like fish. I don't like the ribs. I don't like anything to do. I know you said, I went out there, man. You say, what did you eat? Well, I don't eat potatoes because I can't have the white stuff. But I make up for it in the butter. Okay, so I looked at it. We put fish on there. I said, yeah. She poured some butter on there. It was a Presbyterian sprinkling. I said, I'm a Baptist. Baptize it. You say, can I say this to you, friend? Don't you read the Word of God and just, and then once in a while, Shema, Shema, you got it. By the way, now you got it. If you don't have it, there's no worship. And that's the reason you keep spinning. Look, you keep spinning. It's not IQ. It's a moral problem. You refuse to obey because worship begins when hearing occurs. It is a moral problem, refusing to hear. And by the way, we're not talking about church. I'm talking about your entire existence. All right. After that, I think I have something, don't I, Tom? 1976. I'm not going to turn there. 75. It might have been late 75 or very early 76. I'm at Victory Baptist Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. It's a church like this, not very big, new church. And there's a guy leading the singing that he only has two problems when it comes to leading the singing. Number one, his voice was slightly better than Mike Rock's. Slightly. And number two, he didn't know how to lead. Pastor Kowak's all sophisticated, you know. He's doing all this stuff, you know. And you're out there going, what's he doing? I don't know what he's doing, but it looks nice. This guy didn't know how to lead. He led with one finger. But he was a gunny sergeant in the Marine Corps, fresh out of Vietnam. You were going to sing. It was terrible singing. Nobody could sing in the congregation. One night, I still remember, I heard a new song, Victory in Jesus. Wow, did I hear. By the way, I heard in church. I learned text from the scripture put into a song, Victory in Jesus. But thanks be to God, which always giveth us the victory. I mean, many text, blessing. Another song. By the way, take your hymn book, would you? If you have a hymn book with you. This was many years later, page 296. Many years later, I'm in Bible college. The music at Bible college, I will say to you this, it was well done, but it had two problems. Number one, it was super repetitious because in that environment, you sang the same songs, about 30 songs, you sang them over and over, and worse, too fast. You say, why was it too fast? It was the pastor's philosophy, keep everything moving, moving, jumping, jumping, move, 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 move. It's like a carnival. You boom, 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 like that. That's what you did. In chapel one day, somebody sang a special. He was a decent voice, nothing special, but a decent singer. He sang this song, 296. Wow. Not only is it biblical, but it's contrary to our public thinking. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds, I love this verse. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. You know the one that can still those storms? The waters still hear him. Verse 3. Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on when we shall forever be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul. When change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. And by the way, for all of you that know music, the fact that it's put to Sibelius doesn't hurt. Real music. Wow. You say, Pastor, you're weird. Thank you very much. I have in your notes behind me, personal or individual. By the way, please hear me. You see, what you don't know is I'm not interested in the music you like. I want to know, look at me, as an individual, when you leave here today through the week, if you're a believer, you're a worshiper of God. Do you hear? Worship begins when hearing occurs, which means if I'm going to worship God through the week, I got to be hearing God all week long. That's individual or personal. Corporates, when we come together, family, maybe we get together, we pray, we sing, whatever. That's all perfect. By the way, there's also things you do in life. I like it. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day into day utter a speech, and night into night showeth knowledge. All of light, all of life, walking and seeing the moon coming off the lake, reflecting about the goodness of God, coming upon the smell of lilacs. Or how about this, Filipinos? I've been to a lot of places in the Philippines. Ralph Warren's favorite place, bar none, northern Benguet province, mountain province. To drive down those roads and see the beautiful terracing and the vegetables growing, I mean, it was like, I told my pastor friends, this is heaven on earth. By the way, it didn't hurt that it was cool in the mountains too. And it's miserable in the Philippines. It was about 60. Oh, it was nice. Beautiful. How do you not rejoice? Because I'm listening to God in creation, what God has made, the beauty of creation. Satish, a couple years back, going to India, I got to compliment Satish. He says, Pastor, if you go, there's a place you want to visit. It's in Kerala. It's called Munnar. It's the tea gardens in Kerala. Satish, where did you go, friend? The only bad part about going, I needed a month there. I mean, just to be there among the beauty, waterfalls, a fabulous place, and to enjoy God's world. Yes, we worship, friend. Listen, we worship individually. We worship together. We worship as families in some ways, and we worship in all of life, all of its good. I'm going to tell a story, and I'm going to go to the next point. I hope, well, you may or may not like the story. I was talking to a friend this week. I said, what you working on? He says, well, Wednesday night, we have the Lord's Supper. In case you don't know, we're having the Lord's Supper. That's not accidental for all of you that don't know. I don't do those things accidentally. The church he's taken over, that's their custom, doing it on Wednesday because they want the fewest amount of people to take the Lord's Supper. I don't know what that's about. I said, okay. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, our Lord's Supper, we do it quarterly, four times a year. We do it 12 times a year here normally, once a month. He says, we have a total service, just the Lord's Supper. I said, well, we do that two or three times a year. I spend the whole Sunday morning on the Lord's Supper, not every month, two or three times a year. He said he was preparing. He says they're going to sing certain songs. Everybody knows my bad sense of humor, correct? He says, we're going to sing certain songs. We're going to pray. We're going to read certain texts. And he said, and we're going to have a time of silence. And I just, doing it intentionally, I said, you can't have silence in church. Because people get squirrely when things get silent. Do you not know this? The average person in this room is never around silence. By the way, silence. Be still. Look. Shh. Shema. Silence. Be still and know that I am God. I love it. By the way, it doesn't have to be in church. It could be every place. Well, we quickly go on to the second idea. Deuteronomy 6 adds a layer to this. Not only hear, therefore, in verse 3, O Israel, he also says, and observe to do it. So he's tying the initial hearing from God, either individually, corporately, in your family, with, you know, at a Bible study, or frankly, out in nature. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Deuteronomy 12:28 says the same thing. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee. Secondly, worship begins when hearing occurs. Number two, worship blooms or blossoms when obedience follows. You see, I have heard something. Whatever I have heard, and by the way, what's hearing? Shh. I got it. Once I hear something, the next portion of worship is then obeying it, implementing it, putting it into my life. I learned something this morning. I did not know when I'm out in listening to the Word of God, whether at home, whether in church, I'm not to be talking under my breath. I'm not to be rebelling. I'm to be I'm actually to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I bring that down. I want to hear because I want to obey. This is constant in the scripture. John 13:17 says this, if you know these things, happy are you, or blessed are you if you do them. Same word. Revelation, John gets carried away. Revelation 2, verse 7, I'm going to read only the highlighted parts. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hear it, obey it. Chapter 2, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2, 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2, 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation, you getting tired yet? Wait a minute. And you're thinking music. Where do we get this stuff from? By the way, music, I'm going to get to in a minute, is the application of hearing truth. By the way, where do the great hymns come from? Some man or woman meditating on scripture, life, what God has done, puts it in a poetic form, puts it in a song. Folks, that is a second step. Worship begins when hearing occurs. Worship blossoms like a beautiful bush blossoms or blooms when obedience follows the hearing. There's a natural path. Well, Revelation 3, verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Interesting, there's a big change because the churches are gone when you get to chapter 13. It says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. My friend, worship blossoms and it blooms. How so? It does so in many ways. Praying. When you hear from God, then you speak back. You pray. Praising God. Obviously, you know, praising God for who he is. Giving thanks for what God has done. Meditating, which is part of hearing. It's this. Friend, if you find yourself caught in the spinning circle, the issue is not how smart you are or not how smart you are. The issue is a moral issue. Will you obey? Will you start doing, turn off the cell phones, turn off the games, turn off the TV, turn off all the noise, be silent. That tastes good. I got it. And then you apply it. Worship begins when hearing occurs. Worship blossoms and blooms when obedience follows that. Of course, it shows up with rejoicing. Changes how you respond to life. You're rejoicing. It shows up in singing. By the way, singing is the second step. It's not the first step. Shows up in giving. It shows up in loving God and loving your fellow man or your fellow mankind. It shows up in serving. It shows up in bowing down before God. And behind me, it shows up in being silent. I pastored two churches. In many ways, I would prefer to have been here 100 times over my first church. My first church had one thing I cannot get out of this church. The core of the people when I came, I'm not being angry, I'm not being cruel. I see it in some people. The core of the people were farmers. They were old people, 60s, 70s, and 80s. They had all been farmers, which tells you what? They had spent a lot of time alone. I have people here that your mind is just, you're just spinning and talking and bleh, and you just spin in life. By the way, friend, here's worship. Before we get to the music, here it is. Worship begins when hearing occurs. Worship blossoms or blooms when obedience follows that. We take the truth and you run with it. By the way, the moment you grab something in the scripture, Ephesians 4:32 helped me on forgiveness. Meditating on that verse, I've been asked to speak at Maranatha. I'm probably going to speak on forgiveness. Why? Not because it's a sermon, not because I have nothing else to say. It's something that, look at me, I slowed down in my own life because of some hurts. I did this. I started, I have to forgive even as God has forgiven me. I thought about that, and then it was like this. Aha. By the way, do you not understand Christianity? Now, all of that's going to come out in different ways. It can also come out, I have behind me, you can come out in being silent, be still and know that I am God. But I want to say this, if you have heard and you have spent the time in the text and you've had that silence and you've had that rolling this over in your heart and mind and just sucking on it, you know, that's good. And then you have that aha moment, Shema, I got it. Well, I compare it to this, buying a new car. When you buy a new car and you go to Sam's Club or you go to Walmart, where do you want to park? 2 miles someplace. You see them. I see a Corvette. I saw a Lamborghini recently. No joke at Sam's Club. Now, Mike Hall has two of those in his garage. He has a secret garage, just so you know. But I'm joking about that. By the way, I saw a Lamborghini. How would you like to pull your Lamborghini into Walmart? So what did he do? 2 miles from anybody. And he didn't park in a parking lot. He parked across three of them. Why? This is important to him. Look at me. Do you know how important worship is to me? It ought to dominate your life. I'm not talking about weird. I'm talking about this. When you go to bed tonight, before you slip off to sleep, you're doing this. Ooh, that tastes good. But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep, by the way, where did that come from? And then it's, isn't that your life? By the way, starts with hearing. It continues with obedience. Worship begins when hearing occurs. Worship blossoms. When? When that hearing transitions into obedience. When obedience follows, and then all of a sudden, this is like, wow, this is beautiful. This is rich. Can I say it a different way? You got skin in the game. You've got yourself invested in worshiping the one God. You want to talk about how do you not talk about this? I'm going to conclude quickly. Verse 3 and a couple of other verses. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel. Here is where it begins. Worship begins when hearing occurs. That, and then he goes, and he says, by the way, and observe to do it, like doubling up on keep yourself in a place where you're going to do this. So worship blossoms or blooms when obedience follows that hearing. Of course, you're doing something with it. And then he has the beautiful promise that it may be well with thee and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God, the God of thy fathers, hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Jesus says something similar in John 13:17. If you know these things, if you truly, look at me, if you truly, Shema, got it. If you've done that, happier you if you do them. Of course, the blessing, the happiness follows. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. I will conclude with this. Worship blesses, meaning it brings its blessing on us when the promises are experienced. But the process is simple. We hear, we obey, and then the blessings come. The promises then are experienced. Now, I'm going to say this quickly. All of this is for us in one way or another. Not all of this is for today, but all of this is for us eventually. We'll be in his presence Some of this we will experience now, all of it in the future, because, my friend, the Lord wants to bless us with his goodness. Look at me. When we worship, the essence, when you take all the stuff away, the essence of worship is hearing, obeying, and being blessed by God by simply following the Lord. That's the essence. Worship begins when hearing occurs. Worship blooms or blossoms like a beautiful flowers when? When obedience follows. Worship blesses us when? When we get to experience those promises. And we don't get all of it now, but as we move forward, we get more and more of God's goodness. Let's pray, please. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Take some time to think about, have you been hearing Shema? Men, if you'll come forward.